Now then, be honest. Did you ever want to be a superhero? Not the saving the helpless part, but the superhuman feats part. Well, you're going to want to listen to this next story. And listen carefully. Some of the audio comes from the documentary Bending Steel. And Snap Judgment's Anna Sussman has the story.
There's a guy in Queens named Chris Wondersheck. And today he has that superhero middle name, Wonder. But as a kid, he never had any dreams of greatness.
As a matter of fact, I had dreams when I was a kid of becoming a coal miner. Was I ever set on being an astronaut and flying to the moon? No. I would say I was introverted. I had a lack of self-confidence. Things would come my way, and I would just shake my head and say, I don't do those things. I was always a little bit of a round peg trying to fit into a square hole, if you know what I mean. Oh, I tried school without great success. For a while, I wanted to be a lawyer. I changed my mind on that. I wanted to be a chef. I worked at that for a while. Gave that up.
And then, out of nowhere, when he was 42 years old, he met a friend of a friend at a weightlifting event. They shook hands.
And he practically reduced my hand to gravel. I mean, I was almost on my knees. And I mentioned to a friend, I said, "My gosh, who was that gentleman?" And he said, "That was an original strongman from Coney Island." And my eyes lit up. It was like Christmas morning.
The guy was pushing 100 years old. And back in the day, he used to be a strong man, an entertainer who performed feats of strength.
"Hurry, hurry, step this way, the strangest sight from the island. Bricks from the four corners of the world. What, 2 nickels, 1 dime, a tenth part of a dollar. We've got the show if you've got the dime. It's just starting, so hurry, hurry."
In the old days, some of the old-time strongmen on Coney Island used to lift Herculean weights with one arm, with one finger. They may tear poker cards, they might bend spikes, bend steel bars. Coney Island, it's been a place I've been to when I was a kid. I remember a lot of offbeat or unusual entertainment, people that found themselves unable to connect with the rest of the world. They go there, they breathe fire, they juggle, ride unicycles, and they are all welcomed as performers. Something about it must have stuck. That afternoon, or shortly thereafter, I went to a scrapyard and purchased all sorts of pieces of steel and spikes, and I put the bars over my knees, I put the bars behind my head, I did everything I could do to try and bend them. Not knowing what I was doing.
So, Chris figured he needed some outside help.
I was curious if any of the old-time strongmen still lived.
It turns out there's a handful of new old-time strongmen who perform feats of strength. They give shows at parties, carnivals, traveling shows, and they all kind of know each other. They invited Chris over to one of the guys' houses for dinner.
Instantly, I was in another world. He had a beautiful welding shop filled with stainless steel tables, covered with bars and horseshoes and spikes, and the walls were adorned with accomplishments of other old-time strongmen. And I knew that this was a world that I wanted to be part of.
The guys gave him an industrial steel bar, about 2 feet long, 5/16 of an inch thick, and said, "Start with this."
I said, "It isn't happening. It's just not happening." I didn't really believe that anybody could bend that bar for real.
So he starts practicing in his studio apartment in Astoria. He learns certain grips, leverage points. See, old-time strongmen don't use tricks or illusions. They use strength. And eventually, using these techniques, he felt the steel bar start to give.
The euphoria is very difficult to describe. Without ever having tried it, I would have to say it, the closest feeling to it is probably morphine. It's a general feeling of ecstasy. To hear it crack, to see the mill slag fall off it, it's just... it's almost like a meditation in motion. After you get past the physical aspect, where there's a certain pain barrier involved, there becomes a tremendous psychological aspect to bending steel. Initially, the most appealing thing was knowing that I could do something that most big men could not do.
He's not a big guy, 5'7", 150 pounds with all his clothes on. He learned to bend nails, horseshoes, small steel bars.
And I filled up my studio apartment, which is probably, I don't know, 400 square feet at best, with, you know, these things laying all over the floor. And I needed for myself to bend something really spectacular.
So he orders in the mail from a building supply company a steel bar that was 3/8 of an inch thick, 30 inches long.
I spent probably, 6-8 months or something trying to bend that bar. I could tell you I pushed and pushed on that bar nearly every day, and it didn't budge. I didn't even get it to flex.
He spent more and more time with the other old-time strongmen.
It's almost like an extended family. People refer to them as freaks, and we may advertise ourselves as freaks, but I don't think we're freaks. I think we're just, I don't want to say unusual, but not typical people. But we all come together, and there's sort of like a nice general family feeling there.
One guy became his mentor, a guy named Chris Hercules Ryder, because he could break steel chains with his hair. And one day, Chris Hercules pulled Chris Wonder aside and said, "Bending steel was only one component of becoming an old-time strongman."
My mentor made it clear to me that as a performer, you're there to entertain people. Getting up there in front of a large group of people, it just never came naturally to me. So what we elected to do is take a piece of cardboard and draw figures on it. And I would perform in front of this mock audience. I have videos of several practices.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chris Sheck. I'm a strong man, and I hope to give you an equal performance to some of the other folks tonight. We've had magicians, we've had musicians. I want to assure you that what I'm doing is not magic. Although you may think I'm a comedian telling you that I'm a strongman at 150 pounds. In the strongman culture, there was a certain barrier to entry. And that usually...
In particular, he was practicing for one event, his debut.
We were going to have an old-time strongman extravaganza. We would have probably six or seven well-known performers do their favorite feats on stage. I would be the last performer, as this was basically an evening for me to gain entrance to this, what I call, elite group of people.
The extravaganza was to take place on Coney Island, which, of course, for Chris, was perfect.
I believe the environment is most conducive to, like I said, round pegs trying to fit square holes. And it is a round hole for a round peg.
The extravaganza was a big deal. Chris wanted to invite his mom and dad to be in the audience.
I planned to have dinner with my parents, and during that dinner I would explain to them exactly what I was doing and that I was able to perform these feats, which someday, hopefully, will turn into show business.
When you were a kid, did you ever go to Coney Island?
A few times, yeah.
Did you ever see the strongman perform?
No.
This is footage of this dinner from a documentary made about Chris and other old-time strongmen.
I guess what we're trying to do is to bring this back. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I think that if done very correctly, it could be a very good business.
Yeah, but how do you do that?
Are you going to check the cake?
Yes.
When you see some little guy like me get up there and bend some serious stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
Show us.
We'll show you.
He asked them to come into the backyard, where he would show them some of his feats of strength.
I tore, countless decks of playing cards and looked at my father, and he said, well, if they were half as many, you probably wouldn't have been able to get the edge and tear them. So I took half as many and tore them and quartered them, did everything else with them.
Now, I'm going to be doing a show on Coney Island, and it's going to be a big show with probably six guys, and it's going to lead up to sort of my official entree into this world. And there'll probably be a lot of people there. So would you guys like to come? I'd like very much if you guys came.
Whew. Take it slow. Get your breath back.
But it would have been nice to kind of get a smile or a kind of a subtle sign of approval. I was a little discouraged.
Listen, the 29th is the day of the show. There'll be a front couple of seats reserved for you.
And what are the times?
I'll let you know in plenty of time. Are you that busy?
29th? Okay, 29th.
All right, good enough. We'll see you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
The anxiety was building and building and building the closer we got to it. Like, I started being anxious 6 months before, and each day it got closer and closer, I started to roll around a little bit more and more in my sleep.
He was anxious about performing, he was anxious about the audience and his fellow strongmen, but most of all, he was anxious about that steel bar he planned to try and bend at the show.
So I figured, put it on the wall, in the hallway, you'll see it every day. You'll see it every day. I don't want to say it became a friend, but it almost took on an animation. I would hold it. I'd run my finger along it. You can hear the pitch. I don't know if I was holding it and trying to sort of make a deal with it, bargain with it. I can remember talking with it. I can remember going to sleep at night and waking up with it at the foot of my bed. The morning of the Coney Island show, I pulled that bar off the wall and stuck it in between my legs, and I tried to pull. I wanted to see that bar just, you know, would at least flex. And it wasn't going. It wasn't going. We left early in the morning. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful. And I had the bar underneath my arm. By that time, the bar became a bit of a friend, a constant companion. And I was looking at my watch, of course, saying, my God, very shortly I'm going to have to get out there on stage.
They are real, they are alive, they are on the inside. They are the strong men.
There were two seats reserved for my parents in the front. They were side-by-side seats with their name on it.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
And I was the last fellow to go.
Want to see a strong man show?
But the side-by-side folding chairs remained empty.
It is what it is. No, they did not show up to the show.
Well, we're going to welcome to the stage the one, the only, Chris
Good evening, folks. My name is Chris Wondershek, and I'm an old-time strongman. This bar has been sitting on my wall for 4 or 6 months. It's been doing nothing but tormenting me because this is 2 inches of structural steel, 30 inches long. I've never done this before, so I'm really going to need all of your support. And my two biggest fears as a performer are crowds, unfortunately, and obviously the fear of failure. So I have both of them right here. Possibility of failure, entering the unknown, and obviously a crowd. So when I leave tonight, after this selfish moment, I hope that both those fears are gone. Those are fears that have held me back all my life. And I hope it doesn't have to go back up on the wall straight again. I'm gonna hit this thing with everything I got. I have to say, I broke my rules at that time, and I had a little hesitation. I was convinced that, I hate to say it, but, well, failure was a possibility. When I picked up that bar, I was either going to be successful at bending it, or they were going to carry me off the stage.
Chris stands alone on the stage for a long time, grunting and pulling on the bar.
I enter a Zen mode. I enter the warrior mode. It hurt and it hurt. I try to fuzz out the world, the audience. I try to fuzz out everything else. That's about all I got, folks.
And then the bar starts to flex and then bends into a perfect U shape.
I cannot believe that. Woo! I cannot believe that bar went.
Right on, right on. Again, we leaned on the fantastic documentary Bending Steel for that story. You can see it for yourself. We'll have a link on our website, snapjudgment.org. The sound design for that piece was by Leon Morimoto. It was produced by Anna Sussman.